You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Save the date. The Cleveland Browns food drive is Sunday, November the 1st, before the Browns and the Cardinals, with volunteers collecting non-perishable food items and cash donations at the gates of First Energy Stadium from 11 a.m. through kickoff to benefit the Greater Cleveland Food Bank. Bring your food donations on Sunday, November the 1st. Segura and Wilhelm here. CBD, time to hand out the grades from the Rams and the Browns. We'll start with quarterback Josh McCown for the Cleveland Browns in this one. Josh, you look at the numbers, pretty freaking solid day in terms of 26 of 32, 270 yards, 8.4 an attempt, quarterback rating of 102 on the day for Josh McCown. Now, he was sacked four times. He lost fumbles on two of those sacks. But I thought Josh McCown played a pretty good day. Would have been over 300 yards if it weren't for a few holding penalties on some of those passes.
Or finishing the football game.
It's tough to really grade because you didn't score a touchdown, so how can you give the quarterback a great grade? He still turned the ball over twice. But I'm going to give him a B, and not for the beating that he took, but just because, again, he played, I thought, well against a very good defense. He showed incredible toughness and leadership and ultimately couldn't do enough. But, you know, 26 to 32, 270 is pretty good.
It is, and I'm going to go B minus simply – I heard your grade, and then you obviously talked about some of the negatives, giving the football away, the four sacks, and the lack of a touchdown. Some of that falls on the quarterback, and I know he can't throw it and catch it himself, and you know he can't throw it and block for himself, so I understand the circumstances around him, but I'm going to give him a B-. It's a winning grade. We've consistently had a winning grade coming out of the quarterback, even with some of the bad decisions, you know, last week against the Denver Broncos on the pick six and then the throwaway, but he gives you every opportunity to win a football game.
I thought he outplayed Nick Foles.
Oh, absolutely.
He ran for another 21 yards. Absolutely. But in the NFL, when your quarterback pal plays the other quarterback, you should be better off than 24-6.
Yes, you should.
All right, running backs, Robert Turbin, 5 carries for 30 yards. He had 2 catches for 8. Crow, 8 carries for 9 yards. Wasn't involved in the passing game. Duke, 6 for 17, but added team-high 7 catches for 73 yards. So he gave yet 90 total yards on the day. I'm going to give the running backs B-.
I'll go B- as well, and I think a lot of their production has to do with the offensive line, you know, and their ability to handle a very solid defensive front. When it was there, it was good, and when it wasn't, it was really bad.
All right, let's go to the wide receivers. Travis Benjamin, 4 for 47. Hartline, 3 for 22. Hawkins, 2 for 21. Gabriel, 4 for 15. As a group, they lost 2 fumbles, both. Benjamin was on a ridiculously hard hit. Gabriel's was recovered for a touchdown that really set a negative tone to the game. I'm going to give the wide receivers as a group a D.
I'm going to give them a C-. I feel like, you know what, actually, you know what, D has actually talked me into the D. I kind of have a grade in my head when I'm...
It's one of my great skills.
And then you kind of just go off, and I'm like, yeah, it's actually worse than it really is. Yeah, D. None of them made the play when needed. As I mentioned earlier, none of them could break away from coverage to help Josh McCown when he escaped the pocket. And really in this game, they were limited in what they were able to do. And you look around the National Football League and teams have game breakers, guys that just get it done week in, week out when it's needed most. And we don't have that guy right now.
We don't have that guy. And right now, somebody needs to step up along with Travis Benjamin to help him out. We know Andrew Hawkins is probably not going to play this week, most likely with a concussion. So Taylor Gabriel has struggled mightily in his second season, averaging less than 10 yards a catch. Hartline has been invisible. Is this the week Dwayne Bowe's active? Does Dwayne Bowe get an opportunity to make plays if Andrew Hawkins is out? Or do they run Marlon Moore in there as their fourth receiver?
It's got to be Dwayne Bowe, or people are going to find out where he lives and start, you know, burning things in his yard and stuff. Man, it's that bad.
It's not good. He doesn't decide he's inactive. I mean, maybe he does.
Right, but I meant a significant portion of the frustration lies with Dwayne Bowe and his inability to do enough to be active. Because if he was, there is no way, in the words of Coach Benton, he's not entrenched as one of your top four.
No, he currently is not entrenched. That is for sure. All right, let's go to the tight ends. Jim Dre, 2 catches, 10 yards. That's not really where he makes his mark blocking. I thought he had a rough day blocking. Gary Barnidge, 6 catches, 101 yards. Again, big
keeps
play.
Keeps doing it, man.
Keeps doing it. Stitches, etc. The guy, he is phenomenal.
Find me these stats. What are the percentage of Gary Barnidge being targeted in his receptions?
Gary Barnidge has been targeted 48 times. Okay. He's caught 33, so about 67%.
Okay.
He is averaging over 10 yards a target, which as a tight end is a very, very challenging thing to do in the National Football League. 15.6 a catch. Gary Barnidge has been, in a word, brilliant.
Yeah, I got to say, Barnidge to me, this group gets a B+.
I give him a B+.
It's not a work. You know, didn't get in the end zone as well. You know, Dre, when called upon, just like last year with the absence of Jordan Cameron, did enough. But nothing to get in the end zone, and when we needed them, obviously they, a lot like the receivers, didn't do enough and get open to help out Josh McCown.
Barnidge is just playing out of his mind right now. I mean, it's an offense, when you really break it down and think about the fact this team set records based on an offense based around, you know, rookie Duke Johnson out of the backfield, Barnidge at tight end, Benjamin wide receiver, and Josh Count at quarterback. It's mind-boggling. But Gary Barnidge continues to deliver. Tough guy himself, tooth knocked out, stitches in his lip. Finished the game no problem and turned in, again, another 100-yard effort. The offensive line on the day for the Cleveland Browns, they gave up 7 quarterback hits, about 15 quarterback hurries, 4 quarterback sacks on Josh McCown, and again, did not open up the running lanes for these backs. And what do you mean when you talk about for the offensive line? Isaiah Crowell rushed 8 times for 9 yards. He had 15 yards after contact. That means he's basically being hit about a yard, yard and a half behind the line of scrimmage on each carry. Duke Johnson, 6 carries, 17 yards, 14 yards after contact. So he's getting hit half yard down the field on average. Turbin was the only one who got untouched, and it was because of that one long run. On his other 5 carries, he did not get any yards after contact. So, I mean, he had 5 yards after contact on his other 5. It is this offensive line, I'm going to give them, in some ways they did a great job on Robert Quinn, but too many just blow-up plays.
Yes.
Too many blow-up plays, and so I'm going to give them a D.
I agree. I was thinking a D the whole while.
Didn't even have to talk you into
Nope. D.
Just right there.
It's not failing because, as you mentioned, they did good in some facets, but in others with the number of hurries. You've got to protect Josh McCown. As you mentioned, he's a tough guy, but eventually those types of hits will knock him out and have him miss weeks of football in that concussion protocol.
All right, let's go to the defensive line now for the Cleveland Browns. 2 sacks. They had 3 quarterback hits on the day, which for the Browns is noteworthy. Both sacks coming from the line. Randy Starks, Dez Bryant, each with 1. Now, you still got gashed in the ground game. Todd Gurley ran wild on you. You had a shot at him on his big long run. Xavier Cooper put a hit on him. Couldn't do it. I didn't think the defensive line impacted the game enough. I'm going to call it a C-.
I'm going to give him a D. Not good enough. 150 on the ground again.
All right, the linebackers. Chris Kirksey in his return to his hometown, 8 tackles, had some nice pass breakups. He also had Carlos Dansby with a tackle for a loss and a pass breakup, 7 tackles of his own. No pressure, no heat whatsoever from your outside linebackers. Nate Orchard was out of position. It looked to me, maybe got held, but on the second touchdown run by Todd Gurley. Paul Kruger, non-factor, 1 tackle on the day. Barkevious Mingo, complete non-factor on the stat sheet. He had 1 pass defense, no hurries, no tackles, etc. This outside linebacker group has to be the dominant playmaking core of a 3-4 defense.
Yeah, I mean, name me. You look at the Steelers defense, you know, when they were, you know, with Dick LeBeau, it was full of them. It's what allows right now James Harrison at, 36 years old to be disruptive in the National Football League. How long? I mean, Larry Foote was a guy that was, you know, was good but not great for so long. James Ferrier, you know, was never the best cover guy, but he played in that system for so long. You look at a 3-4 defense, you got the Jets playing very well in a 3-4 defense, and it's just surprising to me, and that's why I don't know who it was Monday that I asked. It was actually Jim Donovan. Do you think the Cleveland Browns look around at what other people are doing in similar systems, in the way they draft, in the way they stop the run, and you go, man? And I know a lot of that happens in the bye, and ours happens very late, but it's going to be too little too late. Can you not just look at film of someone besides yourself or be so close-minded to know that you need a change when what other teams are doing or what other schemes are doing is working? Then you can evaluate 2 things.
Well, that's what he's saying.
A, we need to get the players, or B, we need to change the scheme.
And that's what Penn said, a lot of self-evaluation and reflection for this organization this week. All right. linebackers, I'll agree with you, D. Let's go to the secondary. Jordan Poyer, 11 tackles, recover the fumble forced by Dante Whitner, who's quietly starting to play pretty well. Dante, got to give him credit for that. I thought the corners did a good job. Kaywan, Pierre, and Tremont. I mean, nobody on the team even had 50 yards receiving. Pierre gave up
did
the
Pierre
passer.
I think Pierre got picked on a little bit.
Well, he had a two-play sequence that was bad. Other than that, he didn't even give up a catch. But he had the pass interference.
Well, there's only, what, 12 catches in the game?
He had a pass interference, and then they immediately went after 15. Him for the 41-yard touchdown right after that.
Right.
So he gave up the long touchdown in his hometown with his homecoming, which I'm sure he was not happy about. But overall, I thought our secondary played well. Now, when you give up chunk runs, that means people are either missing tackles or out of position in the secondary. That did happen again, but overall, I'll give the secondary a B-. The secondary wasn't the reason the Browns lost this game.
They're not. I'll give them a C+. I'll be a little bit more critical of these guys. I expect more when given the opportunity. I feel like, yes, we're in good coverage, and yes, we didn't give up a catch, but that should not be the norm for us. I want to see the playmakers. And I thought that, you know, in the back end at this point in the season, our back end, and yes, we're without Tashaun Gibson and Joe Hayden, was playing very good football this time of year a year ago. And if we don't get back there, it's going to continue to be a very long year.
All right, special teams here for you. Coons perfect on his field goals again. Andy Lee, some nice punts in the dome. Returns, the return game, nothing really happened on either side in the return game, kind of nondescript.
B. Yep. You know, obviously there's the Travis Benjamin penalty, I think, on Ibrahim Campbell. That would have changed the field position out to like the 35 as opposed to starting inside our own 10. That hurt us, so I would like to have that one back. And I think special teams is close. You know, they're the close. Andy Lee, you know, he's dwindled a little bit. I'm sure he's looking excited to get back on path and start booming in the way he did early in the season. But that's going to happen. And I think right now they're not losing us football games.
Certainly not. And then let's go through the rookies, and we're going to do it quickly. We're going to hand out our rookie grades. What's our Ohio Business Machine hot topic? We got after further review coming up. All right, based on just what you've gotten from these guys so far this year, we'll go with the big five rookies. Let's start with Danny Shelton.
Danny Shelton, I'm giving a C. I think it's been average at best.
I think C. I think we expected more. We need to see more.
Agree.
Nate Orchard.
Nate Orchard, I'm going to give a C-. As a Browns fan, both you and I, and you out there listening, what's the splash play that makes you think Nate Orchard can play and be a star in the National Football League? There isn't one.
His best play so far was he generated a pressure on Joe Flacco late in that game.
Cool.
That was it.
I got close a lot of times in life.
You're asking me? I'm just telling you.
I'm just telling you. So just say, no, there isn't one.
There is, thus far, no. All right. Let's go to Xavier Cooper.
Coop? I think he played, what I see, he's, you don't hear his name at all, and then he'll make a play out of nowhere. You know, whether it be a tackle for a loss or a pressure or a quarterback hit or the sack he had a couple weeks ago. I would say I give him a C+, B-. I like what I get out of Coop. I just want to see more plays. And obviously his opportunity has grown since the season started as well.
Yeah. I'd give Xavier Cooper, if I was breaking it down, I would give him a B- as well. I think he's active, and at least he's shown you a flash of, hey,
correct. I can play in this league.
I can play in this league.
Correct.
And here's why. So we've seen some flash from him. Duke Johnson.
I would say I want to see more still. I want to see him get some opportunities on the ground and winning in those one-on-one situations. Right now he's become a great check down for Josh McCown. I want to see him be featured in one-on-one situations, and because you schemed him properly, he makes one of those chunk plays, not simply because it's a deep zone or man-to-man and he sneaks out and he makes a 17-yard gain. There's nothing I don't like about Duke, and to me, he's proven that he can play in this league, so I'm going to give him an A-.
I was going to give him an A- as well. You're seeing it. It's a guy right now who's got about,
stuck his nose in there on pass protection as well a few times. Yeah. He picked up a blitzer.
440 total yards. Really wasn't a factor in the first couple of weeks, so 440 total yards. He is second on the third on the team right now with 31 receptions and 263 yards receiving. So he is coming along. I want to see more of him as a runner, averaging just 3.2 yards per carry. But I like his attitude. I like his toughness. He was certainly engaged with some of the St. Louis Rams players after some plays in that one. Doesn't back down from anybody. I'm going to give him an A-. Hopefully he didn't see what happened to the U this Saturday or this past Saturday. And finally, Cam Irving.
Fail.
F. It's got to be. He's not on the field.
Great kid. Thought it was a great pick. But the way in which he's being used right now, which is almost zero, if you can't get on the field, you're of no use to me. To me, he's in the same conversation as Johnny Manziel, Justin Gilbert, and Dwayne Bowe.
He is a guy, a team in the position of the Cleveland Browns, I don't believe can afford to draft somebody 19th overall in the NFL draft that is not playing for them and contributing.
Did we? I mean, Jim O'Neill sat in this same seat pre-draft and said, what about actually like our first three picks? And he didn't care if all of them were delegated to the offense, that this organization and team, as we sit, needs to draft three starters. And as you mentioned on a phone call with Danny Shelton, his playing time has gone down as the season has gone on. Cam Irving is struggling to get on the field. And our second-round pick is Nate Orchard. He's gone up, but as I mentioned, has yet to give me an inkling or a splash play to go, man, that was an NFL outside linebacker move. Look at that.
It's got to be impact players. And
we
right
got
now,
guys. We got guys. We got guys.
He's not making, first of all, he's not making impacts. He's not able to beat out John Greco, which we know. He got some work there. And frankly, when he's played as that extra blocker, we have gotten nothing on those plays. And he's gotten penalties. And he hasn't looked good. He's fallen down more often than he's gotten blocked.
Which, oh, by the way, when you know, I heard it on the radio broadcast as I was driving back from downtown for the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network pregame show when the referee through the broadcast says, 74, reporting is eligible. 70. They do that so that both sides are aware there's an obviously an ineligible number in an eligible position. But in most cases, and you said he did run a route, it's your way of waving a white flag that says, hey, we're going jumbo. We're going to run the football. Try and stop us. And we get nothing.
And we have not been able to do it. Yeah, that one is just, that's very disappointing so far for the Cleveland Browns. All right, that's our look at the grades when we come back a little after further review as we wrap things up here on this Tuesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.